Today is the appearance day of Lord Nrisimhadev, and as I mentioned several times before, it's also the auspicious disappearance day of Hiranyakashipu. Lord Nrisimhadev ki, Hiranyakashipu. Oh, we got the right response finally. You hear the devotees go, Chai! And then you wonder which side they're actually on. Demons in disguise. So I'm going to read from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7. Chapter 9, Prahlad pacifies the Lord with prayers. Text number 43. Naiva dvide paradaratya vaitaranyas tva viryagayana mahamrita magni chitak soche vimukha chetas indriyarta maya sukhayam bharam udvato vimudan. O best of great personalities, I'm not at all afraid of material existence. Wherever I stay, I'm fully absorbed in thoughts of your glories and activities. My concern is only for the fools and rascals or making elaborate plans for material happiness, maintaining their families, society, and countries. I'm so simply concerned with love for them. Purport. Throughout the entire world, everyone is making big, big plans to adjust the miseries of the material world. And this is true at present, in the past, and in the future. Nonetheless, although they make elaborate political, social, and cultural plans, they have all been described herein as vimudha, fools. Material world has been described in the Bhagavad Gita as dukhaliyam ashasvatam, temporary and miserable. But these fools are trying to turn the material world into sukhaya, sukhalayam, place of happiness, not knowing how everything acts by the arrangement of material nature, which works in her own way. Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvashaha ahankaravi mudatma kartaham iti manyate. The bewildered spirit soul, under the influence of the three modes of material nature, thinks himself to be the doer of activities that are in actuality carried out by nature. There is a plan for material nature, personally known as Durga, punish the demons. Although the asuras, the godless demons, struggle for existence, they are directly attacked by goddess Durga, who is well equipped with 10 hands with different types of weapons to punish them. She is carried by her lion carrier, or the modes of passion and ignorance. Everyone struggles very hard to fight through the modes of passion and ignorance and conquer material nature. But at the end, everyone is vanquished by material laws. There is a river known as Vaitarani between the material and spiritual worlds, and one must cross this river to reach the other side, or the spiritual world. This is an extremely difficult task. As the Lord says in the Bhagavad Gita, Daivi Esha Gunamai Mama Maya Dharatiya. This divine energy of mind, consisting of the three modes of material nature, is difficult to overcome. The same word, dharatya, meaning very difficult, is used here. Therefore, one cannot surpass the stringent laws of material nature except by the mercy of the Supreme Lord. Nonetheless, although all materialists are baffled in their plans, they try again and again to become happy in this material world. Therefore, they have been described as vimudha, first-class fools. At least there's something first-class in this world. As for Prahlad Maharaj, he was not at all unhappy, for although he was in the material world, he was full of Krishna consciousness. Those who are Krishna conscious, trying to serve the Lord, are not unhappy. Whereas one who has no assets in Krishna consciousness and is struggling for existence is not only foolish, but is extremely unhappy also. Prahlad Maharaj was happy and unhappy simultaneously. He felt happiness and transcendental bliss because this is being Krishna conscious, yet he felt great unhappiness for the fools and rascals who make unhappy, elaborate plans to be happy in this material world. So the verse again, Naiva dvije paradratya vaitranya svavire gaima mahamitak magnachitak soche vimukachaita sendriyaratan maya sukhayam bharam uvita vimudan. Oh, best of great personalities, I'm not at all afraid of material existence. Wherever I stay, I'm fully absorbed in thoughts of your glories and activities. My concern is only for the fools and rascals who are making elaborate plans for material happiness, maintaining their families, societies, and countries. I am simply concerned with love for them. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutaye Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tenamane Namaste Sarasatundeve Gauravani Pacharane Nirvishesha Srinivadi Paskatyade Satarne. Srimad Bhagavatam is the stories of the incarnations of Krishna, but it's also the stories of the Mahajans, principally. Swayambhu, Narada Shambhu, Kumara, Kapilo, Manu, Palado, Janako, Bhijmo, Vayora, Vyasakaya, Vayam. So Prahlad Maharaj is one of those Mahajans. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu liked to hear again and again two different pastimes from the Srimad Bhagavatam. One of them was the story of Prahlad Maharaj, and the other was the story of Dhruv Maharaj. So after he was done hearing the pastime, he'd like to hear it again and again and again and again. Now it just so happens, this is probably, except for the 10th canto, the longest pastime in the Bhagavatam. The story of Prahlad Maharaj takes up practically, except for the, well, it goes 12 chapters at least, I think, 11 chapters. 10 chapters. That's a long time. I think if we make it into the Bhagavatam, we'll just get an honorable mention. We won't get 10 chapters of the Bhagavatam dedicated to our pastime. Now Krishna comes, Puritranaya Saranam Vinashaya Tudiskritam Dharma Samstapanarataya Sambhavam Yuge Yuge. Krishna comes again and again, and it's always the same thing. Not exactly always the same thing. But to our perspective, it may seem like the same thing. Oh, here he's coming again. He's going to fight with another demon. And we already know, you know, maybe we can find someone to make a bet with who's going to win. I mean, it's like predetermined or something. These poor demons, they don't have a chance. He just plays around with them and kicks them or does something to them, rips them apart. It's just, you know. Why don't you fight some of your, you know, same size as you or something? Give these guys a chance, you know. Fight with one hand behind your head here. Do something. The aim is not to show that Krishna is going to be fair with the demons. If that was so, we'd be a little nervous. Because we're already a little nervous. We're already nervous. When the demigods are witnessing these pastimes, whether it was Nrisimhadev fighting with Hiranyakashipu or Varaha fighting with Hiranyaksha, then they get nervous. Because, especially these particular demons, they had conquered the demigods. And the demigods were coming, you know, Varaha, hit him in the head with your mace, kill the guy. And they're afraid of Varaha got vanquished, then the next one that Hiranyaksha would have attacked was the demigods, his fans. Go ahead, hit him. Oh yeah? Yeah, the next guy would hit. So they were a little nervous. The sage was saying, you know, the time of Abhijit has all but passed. This is the most auspicious time. Get him now. Get him now. And Aranyaksha, Aranyakashipu, they were in tune. And they would have gotten got even with the demigods. They didn't like the demigods to begin with. So the sense of the fact that we know who's going to win is not a problem. We have to figure out what is the lesson here, especially for Prahlad Maharaj. So this is a very important verse, that Prahlad, he shows us from the very beginning of his life, someone who's absorbed in Krishna consciousness. He was said he's a partial Nitya Siddha, but he was doing pretty good from the beginning of his life, as far as I can see. And indeed, by the time he met his father, Hiranyakashipu, who wanted to find out from Prahlad what was the best thing you learned in school, Prahlad Maharaj sat on his lap fearlessly because he was absorbed in bliss. He was beyond the material concept of life. It's like if you go on book distribution or you do some service where you're completely absorbed, you become fearless. You can, at the beginning, you may go on book distribution, you're afraid to approach anyone. And indeed, when you approach someone, they say, get lost, or I'm not interested, or, you know, I have my own religion. What's that? Oh, I drink beer. Oh, I see. Religiously. So then you become a little, you think, oh, there's a bunch of demons out here and no one wants to take the book. They're all going to hell and they deserve it. Especially because they don't honor the devotees. Me. But after some time then you get absorbed and you become, when the books start going out and you actually see that Krishna's giving you some potency, then you actually become fearless and you approach everyone. Not everyone, but if you have any intelligence, you don't approach everyone. But you approach people. It appears that more and more people are eligible to take books. I remember one time I was doing it was a Christmas marathon, or now it's the Prabhupada marathon, and I was distributing books with, you know, O'Hare Airport. And the head of the BBT at that time, Romeshwar Swami at that time, he came and was watching us because in Chicago we had the biggest book distributors in the world at that time. You probably don't know who they are, but there was Raghosh and Tripurari, Vaishasika, Naikatma, and myself. I was in the top 20, but I never made it to the top. Tripurari was there, and Pragosh was there, and Vaishasika was always ahead of me. But so Ramaswara Prabhu came out, and he was watching me distribute. He said, why don't you just approach everyone? I thought, my God, I wouldn't last more than an hour if I approached everyone out here. But just to, you know, he was only going to be there for 5 minutes. So for 5 minutes, I approached everyone. He left. A complete waste of time. I remember one time at a fair. It was a Texas State Fair. I decided I'd approach everyone and tell them exactly what's in the book. You know, this is about love of God. That lasted around half an hour. But I realized not only I wouldn't distribute a book, but I might even get killed out here. In any case, the idea Krishna comes to annihilate the demons and especially protect the devotees. And the devotees, as I said, such as Prahlad Maharaj, from the beginning, he was absorbed in transcendental pleasure. And therefore he could fearlessly approach his father and say, when his father said, what's the best thing you've learned in school? So he said that Tatsaru Manye Surya Varya Dehinam Sadasuma Sudvigna Dhyama Satgrahat. That my dear father, the best thing I've learned in school, as I've said before, is that you're number one fool. So his father was so powerful, after all he had a body which is indestructible. The demigods were acting. Indra was his footstool. Narada Muni was his personal servant. Imagine having Narada Muni as your personal servant. Sing me a song. Oh, Hiranyakashipu is no fool. He's a great. Indra is working as his stool, where he puts his feet. So Narada Muni was glorifying him, and the demigods were serving him. The demons actually took over the workings of the demigods. So he had one demon in charge of the air, one demon in charge of the sun. So all the demons had taken over the universe. So if you were a devotee at that time, you had good reason to be paranoid. Because the whole universe, not only the earth planet, but the whole universe was run by demons. And everyone was afraid of Hiranyakashipu. It said when he raised his eyebrows, the demigods started to shift. No, I'm on your side, Hiranyakashipu. I didn't do it. There's this other guy over there, that demon. He's just sneaky. This demigod, he's sneaky. I'm your friend. But Prahlad, he was 5 years old, a little boy. Hiranyakashipu was a huge giant. And he fearlessly told Hiranyakashipu that you're simply a big demon, that's all. Not exactly common. And you're always in anxiety. So my advice is that you should quit your job as the ruler of the universe and go to the forest and take shelter of Vishnu. I mean, you couldn't have told Hiranyakashipu anything which would have made him more angry. So naturally he threw Prahlad off his lap, told his servants, torture this boy, try and kill him. And that's... But Prahlad was always in ecstasy. He wasn't even conscious of the tortures that he was going through. Because he was on the platform of Prema Bhakti. And Prema Bhakti has two characteristics. One of them is Krishna Akarshini, that it's the only way to attract Krishna. And Surinder Nanda Vishak Atma. The pleasure is so great that one is not even aware of material existence. Now, we can't imagine what that would be like, to be in so much pleasure that you're not even aware that there's a material world. Like, we have Gaur Kishore Das Babaji. He was living in, I guess this past times we're in Vrindavan. Did he ever go to Vrindavan? I guess he was in Vrindavan. And in Vrindavan, at that time, little boy, he was a Babaji, so not everyone understood his exalted character. Because sometimes he'd run around in the Ganges naked. He'd get so hungry, his body would get hungry. But he, rather than wasting time eating, he just takes some Ganges mud and eat it. So sometimes he'd be there meditating, and little boys would come and throw sticks at him or rocks. And his servant would try to chase them away. He'd say, no, those are coward boys. Just let them play. Sometimes he'd be taking prasadam, and little puppies would come and eat from his plate. So his servant would try to shoo them away. And Krishna, then he'd say, no, just leave them alone. They're actually residents of Vrindavan. Don't offend them. So who can imagine Gaur Kishore Das Babaji, what kind of consciousness he was in? Other Babajis were also displayed ecstatic love for Krishna, so much so that, well, probably gives examples of Vamsidas Babaji, who treated his children, the deities, just like his children. He chastised them, sometimes he'd tie them up and said, if you don't behave, I'm going to throw you into the Ganges. So we tie them up and throw them into the Ganges. he wouldn't let them drown, but he chastised them. So there are many examples of great devotees, but Prahlad Maharaj, he exemplified how great a devotee is, that in spite of any difficulty, he displayed ecstatic symptoms, being even when he was being tortured by his father or by his father's assistants. So this naiva dvije paradharatya vaitaranya. So he shows this example that if we become absorbed in love for Krishna, then all our miseries will go away. That there's no other way of getting rid of misery. Now there's adi-atmaka, adi-bodhika, and adi-daivaka misery. And obviously we're not in charge of the demigods, so we have to tolerate. Although we don't like it, this is called climate change. They used to call it global warming, but because when they're having the conferences for global warming, sometimes there was so much snow that they had to cancel the conference on global warming because it was too cold. So they realized people weren't by it there, that it's global warming. Actually, 20 years ago, they were putting out that the scientists were putting out that soon there was going to be another ice age. They called it global cooling. That didn't happen. So then they changed it to global warming. And that didn't happen either. So now it's climate change. Well, that you know, like summer, then comes the autumn, then comes the winter, then comes the spring. You know, climate change. It's definitely happening. And we can stop it if you can give us enough money. We'll stop it. Thank you, scientists. So, the Prahlad Maharaj, he showed us how to be absorbed in transcendental pleasure in spite of any circumstances. Because without being tortured, we wouldn't be able to understand the happiness that comes from Krishna consciousness. We're trying to counteract so many different types of miseries, as I said. And generally speaking, we're happy if there's only one misery at a time. Usually we can only deal with one misery. If there's one more than one misery at a time, then we call that unhappiness. If we have one day and we're not, the whole day isn't absorbed in trying to solve problems, we must be asleep. Because that's the material world, is constantly problems. So Prahlad Maharaj said that the solution to the problems is not getting a college education, because he wasn't a very good student, Prahlad. Matter of fact, he got thrown out of school. He definitely didn't get a degree. His parents weren't exactly, you know, friends of his. From the very beginning of his life, he was 5 years old. He was the first instance of the Bhagavatam of child abuse. But there was no CPO. Matter of fact, all his friends were in on it. They were all abusing him. So Prahlad was still, because he was absorbed in Krishna consciousness, he didn't feel the pains of material existence, any of them. But that didn't leave him out from preaching to his childhood classmates, who were all demons. Now, if you want a challenge, go to a public school nowadays and try to teach them about Krishna consciousness. Of course, it's not so bad now, but most of the children aren't officially demons. But there, they're all official demons, taught by official demons. Matter of fact, if you were a devotee, then you were considered to be a demon. And if you were a demon, you were considered to be a devotee. Those who were devotees of Vishnu were considered demons, and those who were devotees of Hiranyakashipu were considered to be devotees. So the whole thing was reversed. And if you went there and you try to convince the followers of Hiranyakashipu that they were worshiping the wrong, they were betting on the wrong pony, as they say in English. They're worshiping the wrong person. You would have gotten into trouble. It was like, what was his name who's in Kuliagram, who's preaching about the, who's a pandit, it was Devananda Pandit. Devananda Pandit was a scholar in the Bhagavatam. And he was giving class every day on the Bhagavatam. And he had a lot of followers because he was expert at preaching from the Bhagavatam. So one day Shivas Pandit came to hear the Bhagavatam. And when he heard the Bhagavatam from Devananda, he fell into ecstasy because he was so ecstatic. But the followers of Devananda Pandit were all impersonalists, so they thought this person's disturbing class. So they picked him up and threw him out of class because he was in ecstasy. Then, later on, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was in a forgiving mood, he came and he met Devananda Pandit and chastised him. He said, "You're a rascal, you're a fool, a great devotee like Shivananda Pandit, that you've thrown him out of class. Your next destination is definitely not Vaikuntha." So Devananda Pandit realized that and he asked for forgiveness and he was excused. So that's, there's some pastime excusing the offender. So the whole community of Hiranyakashipu, they're all first class offenders. The person, enemy number one was Vishnu and their acharya in disciplic succession was Hiranyaksha. Imagine if your acharya is Hiranyaksha, what kind of mentality you have. And the present acharya is Hiranyakashipu, who's the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost all combined together. Therefore, Prahlad was fearless to the extent that although he was chastised by his father, still he went to school, and he actually converted his schoolmates to become devotees. Such was the potency of a pure devotee. He actually got them to chant Hare Krishna. During recess, he actually taught the philosophy of Krishna consciousness to his schoolmates, and although they were 5 years old, Acharya Dharmam to Bhagavata. Let's see. What was the first word? Bhagavat Iha. Kamaracharat Pragyo Dharman Bhagavatan Iha Durlabham Manusha Janma Tarapyadruvam Atardam. That's from the very tender, his schoolmates, they were all into sports, as most people are into sports nowadays. They weren't watching movies because there were no movies. But everything else they were doing, practically speaking, because they were demons. But they're innocent because they're only 5 years old. And therefore he told them, from the very beginning age of childhood, you should begin the process of Krishna consciousness. Because they kept on saying, "Prahlad, you're a nice person, and we like you, and you seem pretty happy, and you know, you seem like what you're saying is making sense, but we're only children. Therefore, when we grow up, we'll buy one of your books. Maybe we might even read it. But for now, just let us play. Don't disturb us." But Prahlad said, "No, no. You're only 5 years old, but still, you're going to become 10 and 15, 20, 50, 90 pretty soon. And so you should begin life now in Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, you'll spend the rest of your life trying to forget what you learned in school." That the more educated one becomes, especially in modern universities, the more one becomes a fool. Śrīla Bhaktivinoda Thakura said, "Everyone is born as a Shudra, but by modern education one becomes less than an ass." So one of the reasons is people become proud. They think they learn it. They don't know who they are. They don't know what the purpose of life is or how to achieve it. They're going to become an animal in the next lifetime. And they're thinking, I'm a learned scholar. I got my degree. And other people are thinking they're also learned scholars, but they're blind. And they're leading all these other blind people into a very unfortunate destiny. So Prahlad furiously taught his schoolmates. So he not only was a great devotee, but he was also a great preacher. As Sanatana Goswami told Haridas Thakur, when they were in the Jagannath Puri, he said that not only you're a great devotee, he said some people they preach very nicely, but they don't follow very strictly. And some people follow very strictly, but they don't preach. But you're both, because you both follow strictly, and you preach the glories of the holy name. So that's our duty also. We have to run on two tracks. That one of them is called Bhagavat Marg, the other is Pancharatrika Vidhi. We have to perform our sadhana, but we also have to become effective preachers if we want to realize Krishna, if we want to please Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in the beginning, he was at Srivasanga, and they had ecstatic kirtans at night, for hours at a time, in ecstasy. But ultimately, they broke out into the Harinam outside. They must have, maybe they had a coronavirus or something like that also, kept them inside. But ultimately, they broke outside and they spread the Hare Krishna mantra everywhere in Navadvip, so much so that when the Kazi forbade their chanting Hare Krishna, then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu organized a disobedience movement, and hundreds and thousands of people joined him overnight and put an end to the rule that you couldn't chant Hare Krishna outside anymore. Social distancing. There was no distance between the devotees, and they came to the Kazi's house, and the Kazi actually became a devotee of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we should also follow in the same footsteps. Now we have an opportunity to cultivate our Krishna consciousness for the idea that we should become powerful preachers and give others Krishna, and that will please Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and make our sadhana more alive. Sadhana has a purpose to give us the power to preach, and preaching will give us the power to do our sadhana. So they work together, and separately they don't work so well. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Comments? There's going to be a play. See that pillar there? Better be on the right side with it. Any questions? Comments? They told me that the play is only 15 minutes. Told me to go until 1:45, so. Yes. I know Aranyakashipu, so he's a pretty mean guy, so. Okay.
As far as I understand,
Hare Krishna.
As I understand, there were 100 attempts at Prahlad's life before Hare Krishna put the sword in his own hands.
Yeah.
So oftentimes I feel, why wouldn't they seem to have finished him before? Like at the very first attempt, as soon as he began abusing Prahlad.
Because Nishaya Prahlad was not affected, but Krishna was protecting him. He wasn't affected by all this abuse that was going on. And why didn't Krishna take care of Duryodhana and others, Dushyant, immediately? Why? Because he glorifies the devotees that way. He shows them, when you take shelter of me, it doesn't really matter what's going on. You'll always be happy and in ecstasy. It's So this Krishna does it with all his devotees. Why did he have Dhruva Maharaj, you know, do so many things, fight against the Yakshas when his brother was killed, to glorify his devotee? Because unless he arranges it in this world, then we wouldn't know what actually it is. Just like there are other great personalities, but their pastimes are pretty insignificant compared to these pastimes of the devotees. They don't really, really glorify the devotees so much. But these pastimes really glorify the devotee. There's no comparison to it. And ultimately, he had a fight with Hiranyakashipu. Because that's why he sent him here. I mean, the whole thing is all combined. I mean, it's perfectly arranged. But he sent Hiranyakashipu here and Hiranyaksha because he was supposed to fight with him, kill them, so to bring them back to Vaikuntha. But in the meantime, he fulfilled his mission. But he was the only one who could kill Hiranyakashipu. So he had a right to wait for the right time, the right moment. Just like we're waiting for the right moment when we can take prasadam. So he was waiting for the right moment when it was dusk. So killing Hiranyakashipu in the right moment coincides with our right moment also. So it's all perfectly arranged. Anything else? Are they ready? Okay. Grandharaj Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.